This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
All right, everybody, this is the Man Therapy Podcast. His name is Kyle. My name is Dan. And together, we are solving all the world's problems.
Yep, it's Dan and Kyle.
Yep, just Dan and Kyle. Just, I don't know. Like, this whole world is bananas right now, right? The government is shut down. We have a potential spaceship flying through our solar system. Did you hear about that?
I feel like I've heard about that before.
Yeah.
That's happening right now.
Yeah. So there's something called like 3i Atlas.
Okay.
And it is a object that is floating through our solar system at 250,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
But at the same time, it is taking a trajectory that scientists say the likelihood of a regular object doing that is like 0.002%. Okay. And so the other thing, I guess, and this is all from what I've gathered, you know, they're saying that it has increased speed and has slowed down and has done maneuvers that just rocks and comets floating through the solar system just don't do. So it's by the sun right now, and it's getting ready. And it also came through at a time where a lot of the planets are kind of lined up in a way so that they can come through our solar system and they can, what would they can hit as they can observe as many planets as possible, if in fact it is a manned or some type of intelligent piece of construction.
Yeah. Dude, I think about stuff like that sometimes, like, yeah. what would it be like?
Yeah.
You know, what the hell would it be like? And also, do you ever wonder if like anything crazy is going to happen during our lifetime?
Yeah.
You know, just like, some crazy event.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like it's going to be some kind of mothership landing on Earth, although it could be. I feel like there will be some kind of technological, like, gigantic revolution, even more than what, like, they'll be able to harness fusion, or they'll be able to do something scientifically that will result in just a benefit for man. Or on the opposite end of that, this is what I think about a lot, is you start to hear these conspiracy theories about a guy who created an engine that runs on hydrogen.
Right.
And so all you have to do is put water into this container and it splits the water and hydrogen and the car runs off hydrogen. Well, that guy disappeared.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And even in today's world, like, they are admitting that the government was involved in some way, shape, or form at, like, the JFK, right? But people are so into their own lives that, like, to me, that's a huge thing.
Right.
If our government killed our president, hypothetically speaking,
right?
What else are they doing to us right now?
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, crazy
totally.
Like that. What are they keeping from us? What is pharmacy? Like, is there a cure for cancer that Pfizer is literally not sharing?
Yeah. That they've known for 30 years. They've just been sitting on.
Right. Yeah. Because if that goes away, then guess what? Then, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I really, what's one conspiracy theory that you kind of are like, all right, I could probably get on board with this one.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. I'm a big distrusting the government guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost like don't even give a shit what the government says about anything. So I'm just like, whatever. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. I kind of just don't believe a single thing. And then I know they tell us what they want us to know and put their spin on everything and filter it before it gets to us. So I kind of figure unless I was there to witness the thing, I just assume I don't really know what happened. And I hate that.
Yeah. Have you seen like 9/11? Have you seen the 9/11? Like when they really, I think they upgraded the footage and then they really just like, I don't know. They upgraded the footage and they went into breaking it down and watching the plane kind of disappear when it hits the building. It's just like, what is going on? And then obviously that stirs something in a person's brain. And then they go back on social media as they're scrolling and something crazy is said. And you're like, how do I even know if this is real anymore?
Yeah.
It is like AI has the ability to distract us all.
Yeah.
Right. If I wanted to create a video of you saying something outlandish and posting it, there's no way people could tell it was really what you said or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the 9/11 thing is just so sad because, you know, there's pictures of like, oh, it looks like there was an explosion before the plane even hit the building.
Yeah.
Oh, like incredible that there was like $2 trillion unaccounted for in accounting. Like that's where all the information was stored and now it's magically gone. And like that information was about to come out and the floors that the planes hit were apparently unoccupied and who knows, like.
Yeah. Well, that and the one that blows my mind is in the rubble. You see a shear, like someone took a torch and torched in this. So what they do is in buildings, they will cut at an angle. So when the building slides, the I-beam, it slides down like this and doesn't come straight down. It slides and falls.
Okay.
And so they have several of those I-beams found in the building. It's in the building's wreckage. And then I'm just like, Okay. This is too good not to make sense, man.
I mean, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting what governments will do to people. Mm-hmm. And it's just people making decisions about other people. And it's like, yeah, I think, you know what? I'm willing to kill 5,000 people for this cause. And they just do just innocent people just have nothing to do with it. And it's really similar with war.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, it's just like some people in the government are like, yeah, you know what? I think we're going to go do this. And then other people are like, oh God, me? Like,
yeah,
you're going to send me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Go die. Oh, yep. Could you imagine what it would have been like in frickin' World War II? I mean, World War II, the Allies had good motivation to want to go fight, but could you imagine the average like German that got like roped into that shit and every country that they conquered that they were like, okay, well, you can basically join our army or you can die, and they're like, fuck, I guess I'll join the army.
Yeah.
And then you're just like fighting for a cause you don't super believe in, and like, well, this is your life now. And your life is super dispensable. We don't give a shit if you ever come back. And like, you know, million of you are going to die, but go while we all just sit in the comfort of our homes.
Yeah. There's also a lot of conspiracy theories around World War II and Hitler and what all he did and all that crazy stuff too. It's just how do you know if it's even true or not anymore? It makes sense if it was true, but you're just like, oh, I don't know, man. I am a World War II. Like any time, have you ever seen that that documentary? It's multiple part series, but it's called World War II in Color.
Yeah,
where they take all the old black and white and they turn it to color. Dude, that's pretty badass.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I just I think about that stuff when I that stuff's humbling to me.
Yeah,
when I think about how stressful my life can be here and there. And then I watch like World War II in Color and I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Those fucking men were going through some shit.
Yeah.
Here I am like, damn it. Somebody knocked over my mailbox. I have to dig a hole and about a foot and a half down, it gets really gravelly. It sucks. Yeah.
Right.
Like, this guy's been away from his home for 3 years. He's like narrowly avoided death like 50 times. He's watched 5 of his closest friends die right in front of him. And I'm like, dang it, the ground's hard. Shoveling's hard.
Yeah. Well, and then at the same time, you had kids lying to be 17-year-olds who were literally lying and skipping their senior year in high school to go fight in this cause that they truly believed in. Mm-hmm. And our kids just say 6-7, 6-7, 6-7 all fucking day long, right? What happened? What happened in this world where we have a group of people like that who had to live in some of the hardest times ever to the softest human beings around today? Our American teenagers.
Yeah, I'm sure that those kids existed back then too, but
yeah,
I think to me, World War II was, it kind of stands alone in that there is, for the Allies, that there was good motivation for them to go fight, but like World War I was just a waste of life on both sides.
Yeah,
they fought World War I over practically nothing, and tons and tons and tons of people died, and like the battle lines like barely even shifted. So they fought for like a few years, and then it ended, and nobody gained or lost anything. They're like, how are we going to justify this to our people?
How did World War I start? Do you know?
Yeah, so there was beef between two countries, and Franz Ferdinand got assassinated.
That's right.
And then they were like, oh, you can't do that. And then they started fighting. And then it was like, I mean, it was basically as simple as like, you and me are beefing, and you end up killing me. And then my friends are like, I'm mad at you. And your friends, you're like, I'm mad at you too. And then I get all my friends come together and all your friends come together and we fight just because that thing happened.
Yeah.
And so then because one guy got assassinated, millions of other people had to die.
Yeah.
Needlessly. So sickening.
I got a show. I watched a movie last night. I never get free time, but every once in a while I'll have an ad pop up on my computer or on something. And it was for a movie called House of Dynamite on Netflix.
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh, dude.
I watched it.
Dude, imagine knowing a nuclear bomb is going to hit a major city in the United States and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah.
Then the government is like, you have one general going, launch all our missiles right now, because if like
to
if
nuke we other countries
to nuke, yeah, to nuke other countries.
Yeah.
And so we can take advantage of them, because if they see that we're low on power, they're going to come and attack us. And then this one guy's like, dude, I'm on the phone with Russia. They're not claiming responsibility. Chill out. Let's chill out. And this other guy's like, just imagine how stressful all of that shit becomes.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, not in that show, it was like 12 million people were going to die in Chicago in the prevailing winds. They talk like, I'm guessing that has to do with like the radiation that would come from a nuclear weapon, but holy shit. They made it seem, that movie was awesome because I felt like they made it seem like it was a possibility.
Right.
That's right. Crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
It was a good movie. Also, do you do fantasy football? This is the man part of the conversation.
I do, and I don't even know why I do, because I don't even have fun with it anymore. I suck at it, or I just have the worst freaking luck in the world. The first or second year I did it, my brothers and I do it with like a small group of friends, and the first year or two I kicked ass, and then somehow every year since just dog shit, and I'm just watching, making all my moves. Dog shit.
Yeah.
God. Well, other people are having fun. Believe me.
Right.
Other people
right.
are having fun.
Right. Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I will say that last year I was the champion. Okay. And last year I did really well. I had a ton of great, I had players that just really performed. I lost my first four out of five games. And then I won a lot after that, ended up winning. So let me tell you about my fantasy football today, as of now.
Right.
Lamar Jackson has been out. Derrick Henry kind of sucks this year. Lots of fumbles.
Yeah.
Cam Scataboo, I had him as kind of a backup.
Yeah.
But he started doing really well, right? Now his foot points the other direction. Okay. Tyreek Hill's knee roasted. Like he's gone. Bucky Irving, another guy I had, gone. Who's all out. And I had all like all these guys who I was doing really well, and then injury hit me, and now I'm just, I know this is supposed to be for fun, but I'm that guy who, if I'm gonna participate in something, I wanna do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And I wanna win. I wanna win, and I want to do it for really one reason. And there is and we do it through my oldest boy's baseball team, right? So there's another mom, and we kind of talk trash to each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what's called.
Which is part of it. Yeah. Part of it.
Yeah.
And I want to win just because of her.
Like, oh,
that's
absolutely.
And that's why I'm frustrated, is just because of her, because I know that when she starts winning, she's going to talk shit to me.
Yeah.
And I don't have any comeback for
it. That's right. That's right. And that's the beauty of it.
Yep.
Oh, well, I hope you win so you can rub it in her face. And if she wins, I hope she freaking lays it on thick.
Yeah. Right. Right.
That's, and then
I'll get, I get pissed and I take it out on my kids.
Yeah. For sure.
All right. What were we going to talk about today? I forget.
Helping it's kind of the idea of, helping your kids gain confidence. How to support them in being confident.
Yep. Yep. And this whole idea arose on Tuesday of this past week. And because I have my oldest boy, he's struggling with some school stuff. My youngest boy, he's been throwing these weird kind of tantrums lately where he doesn't want to do. And then he says, I suck. I suck at this stuff. Mm. And then there was, but really what happened was on Tuesday, because I've had to deal with all this before, walk us kind of through what happened Tuesday with wrestling. Talk to me about your boy's feelings and why he didn't want to go into the wrestling room and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Monday night. So it's, because intermediate's on Mondays and Wednesdays, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep.
Anyway,
Mondays and Wednesdays.
The listeners don't care. Anyway, so... Monday night was the first night of wrestling practice. And my son is 7 and he did wrestling like when he was like 4. And it was just like the cutest intro to wrestling. Your and I son wrestled together and it was like the freaking cutest and most hilarious thing. Cause our friends, our boys are like best friends and they've been, yeah. they've been besties since they went to daycare together and they were real yep. little. And so they do this little wrestling when they're 4 years old and they're just cute as a button. And they were at this like little beginner's tournament and they end up like last match of the day. It's our sons against each other. And they're just like, they're freaking goofballs. They're both funny as shit. And they just love each other. And so they get out there and they start wrestling each other and they just like start laughing and goofing around. And
running in circles.
Running away from the other and then the other's chasing. They're just running circles around the wrestling circle. I don't know what the hell you call it. Around the mat anyway. And everybody in the crowd is watching them. And everybody in the crowd is just laughing because it's just a wholesome, just hilarious moment of just two little boys that are buddies wrestling and chasing each other and just goofing off. So that's super fun. So that's 3 years ago. That was my son's kind of taste of wrestling. He didn't wrestle for a few years, wants to come back, is excited to wrestle with your son. That's kind of the main reason why he wanted to go. I made the mistake of getting there a little too late. So he's really confident in a lot of ways, but he can get nervous when he feels like there's pressure on him or he's afraid to be like the center of attention mm-hmm. or if he's afraid that he's like not going to have a bunch of friends wherever he's going or if he's afraid he's going to like stand out or be like the new kid. So, you know, we went to wrestling practice and I was going to be there a little early, but I went to the wrong building because it wasn't when I had taken him to practice before, it was in the high school and time it was in a different building. So we went to the high school and had, you know, enough time to, so he'd feel fine, like acclimating. Then I was like, where the hell is this? Oh shit. Oh, it's in a different school. So by the time we get to the place that it actually was, we walked in like right before practice was about to start and all the kids are already in the room. They're already like lined up against the wall. My son comes in and he's like, that made him real self-conscious and nervous. And he just refused to go in the room. And like, I could see it. I know all of his signs by now of how he gets, you know, real sheepish and I can hear it in his voice that he's real nervous. And, you know, I tried to convince him to go in. For the listeners that don't know, Dan, coaches, wrestling coaches in that room. And I appreciated you came out and like encouraged him and stuff. And that was all cool. But he was just like, my son, when he flips a switch, like it's done. Like I could tell it was done. And I've learned from making mistakes that if I keep pushing him, he just digs his heels in worse. Yeah. So I end up, it's counterproductive for me to try too hard to get him to do the thing. Cause then he'll just work himself up.
Yeah.
So only through experience, I learned like, okay, shut it down. If I want him to even have another chance of going another day, I need to shut down the pressure right now and say, all right, cool. No problem. At least we came tonight. You see where it's at. You see what it looks like. Cool. So we walked away and just drove home. He didn't even step foot in the wrestling room. And so then I just kept everything positive. Like I've previous versions of me, like tried to kind of like lecture and like, oh, you need to da 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 da. And I've learned that just like pisses him off. And again, he'll dig his heels in worse. So I've really learned to just be super like nurturing and like on his side. Like, yeah, man, you know what? That I could see why that'd be scary. And what do you think would be like, what would make it easier next time? Do you think like we got there last second? What if we got there like way early? So you were one of the first ones there, or would it be easier if you walked in with your buddy and that was the thing, like he really wanted to be there when your son was there early.
Yeah.
He didn't feel like he was walking in at the end and kids were already clicked up.
Yeah.
So then I just like kept the pressure off of him and just talked about it a little bit, but positively. And then when Wednesday came around, we just made sure that we got ready and got there way early. And then he could see then wonderfully, like we roll in the parking lot. Your son's like in the door, like, hey, like waving like a goofball. And then off my son goes with your son. And then they're just perfect. It's gone.
And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Right? Yeah.
It's okay. And then he went to wrestling practice and I think he had an absolute blast and wrestled with your son the whole time, I think is kind of what he said. and like can't wait to go back. And I'm actually going to go buy him wrestling shoes this weekend.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. I want to tell you something as this is what dads like to hear. Your son is, well, number one, it blows my mind how much energy he has and doesn't eat any food. Right. Right.
Oh, the kid can't sit to eat. We feed him and he just doesn't even eat it because he just goes and plays something. Can't even sit still.
Dude eats 100 calories a day and just boom.
Drives me insane. Goes. He'll eat a bite and be like, Dad, go for a pass.
Yeah.
Like, eat, sit and eat, please.
Now, he didn't go out for wrestling last year, right?
Or the year before.
Okay. So he only went, did he do a year before?
When our kids were four years old and like preschool.
They just did that tournament for fun.
Yeah, he did a few tournaments for fun.
Yep, okay. All right, so dude's an athlete.
Yeah.
Right? I've been coaching kids long enough now, and I'm not a specialist or an expert by any means, but I will say this. Watching your kids, how he uses his feet and his balance, that's amazing. Like, he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
And so I watch just a little bit. I try to stay away because I've learned from past kids. If I'm coaching, I had to learn this the hard way with my oldest son, where I am literally, I'm probably over coaching him and critiquing every little move he makes and I'm not letting him learn like a person needs to learn, right?
And he doesn't want to hear it from you.
Exactly. Exactly. So this year, like for baseball, he's just, I'm not coaching him in the wrestling room because I'm coaching in my youngest's room. I'm not coaching him in baseball. I think he's that kid that is going to perform better under somebody else than me. If he wants to, I'll take him to the batting cage. I'll work on some moves on our wrestling mat downstairs with him, but I am in no way. I learned my lesson with him. You push him, he won't dig his heels in. He'll still do it, but he'll give zero effort while doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he'll say, well, I did it. I did what you wanted me to do, but zero effort.
And that's with you probably. Like if another coach pushed him, he might step up to the challenge.
100%.
You pushing him, it's not going to happen.
100%.
I learned that the hard way too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, which is crazy. It's like, as a father, everybody has their own unique, personalities in this world, and having to try to figure out what motivates somebody, is really, really strange. Like for my oldest boy, he's competitive. And he does not like to look bad. So he would rather not do something in fear of looking bad.
Yeah.
Knowing he has the skill set to do. I like, and that's why I'm frustrated with him, because I would put Mac, my oldest boy, on kind of a your boy's level from a balance and athleticism standpoint. But my oldest boy has zero confidence in his own ability, which drives me absolutely crazy. And I sit there and I'm like, buddy, I wish I had what you had. Now, at the same time, he's a 10-year-old who's getting ready to turn 11.
Right.
And I have to catch myself all the time being that, like, you can't live through your kids type of deal. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And so I have to try to motivate. He doesn't like to look bad, but he wants to do it. And I'm just like, and so I don't know. Let me ask you this. Is this fair? My son, in his head, he's like, I want to be pitcher. I want to be second base. I want to be shortstop, and I want to be outfield or center field. Those are the positions that I want to play.
Yeah.
And I want to be, I want to bat fourth or third or fourth.
Right.
And I'm like, well, do you think you have what it takes to bat fourth? Right. And I'm that person who I tell them, I don't think you're good enough for that right now. Like, I don't think you put in enough work and you're good enough to play shortstop and be third batter in the, in the lineup. I don't think you're good enough. And for my oldest son, that really works. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I want to be the best. I want to be better than my teammates. Mm-hmm. I want to be like, it's almost like he wants to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. He wants to have people go, good job. Good job. Is that a bad way to motivate somebody?
No, I don't think it's a bad way to motivate. It depends on the kid, obviously, but I always think the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
And it sounds like your kid is responding well to that. You're not putting him down. You're not telling him he sucks. You're saying like, hey, dude, you are good and you're pretty naturally good. And also other kids are too. And mm-hmm. so if you want all of those premium positions, then you're actually going against the other kids that are really good. And so then it's whoever's working the hardest is going to get it. So like, you don't just get it because you're good, because everybody's good.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. 100%.
I like it.
Yeah.
How are your kids different? So that's how you deal with your oldest son. What are the compare and contrast, like how you have to deal with the other kids?
So with my youngest, I've been through the wrestling and some of the sports with my daughter, because she's a good wrestler.
Yep.
My son with football, baseball, and now wrestling. And now my youngest son, I understand the growth period a little bit more, I would say. So I kind of just lay off him, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to go do something. So here's my method. I never say no. So if my youngest goes, Dad, let's play catch. Yes. Automatically. Yes. Hey, Dad, I want to hit balls. I want to teach me some wrestling moves. Can we go to the wrestling room early so I can work? Yes. 100%
yes. Right.
But if I bring it up and I go, hey, bud, you want to go hit some balls? You want to go do some things? He's just like, no. Then previously I would be like, too bad, we're going anyway. You need to work on it. With him, I just let it go. I feel like I want him to develop a love, like let him develop a love. And I this is where I kind of feel bad, because I put a lot of pressure in certain times on my oldest boy when I know now I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, she's a completely different animal, man. Mm-hmm. Like, emotionally will get upset and hold grudges against me, but she's such a sweetheart that the next day she'll come and she will apologize and she'll say, Dad, I'm sorry I acted like that. I love you. Right. I'm okay with that. Right.
Yeah. Right.
It's great, you know, but at the same time, again, and I think it's still a little bit of a maturity thing that she is not quite there yet. She is so talented at wrestling.
I don't know, she really is.
Yeah. And so if she would put just an extra, like a little extra into it, I am 100% confident someday she'll be a state champion in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a diet aspect, and there is a wrestling's a unique sport because you do have to kind of mind your weight, right?
Yeah.
Even as a seventh grader, there's times where we're like, hey, listen, if you want to make this category, like for example, we have a wrestling tournament this, and she's at right now, she weighs 109 on 110 pounds. If she weighs 110.1 pounds on tomorrow night, when we do weigh-ins, she will wrestle in a 10 pound, from 110 to 120 pounds. Then she would be the lightest.
Right.
I told her I need you at 109 pounds, but there's times where she wants to wrestle in that category or in that division, but she does not want to put down the sweets, or she does not want to put down the extra helpings of stuff. And that's an aspect of wrestling that is very tough, for certain people who don't have the control to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And which is cool, because now there's a lot of rules and regulations surrounding that. Like, you have to weigh this much by this time of beginning of the season, then you get officially weighed, and then they say, okay, well, you can only lose 10 pounds from here. The lightest weight that you can go is 90 or whatever. They have that in high school, but not.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm getting at with her is, she is one of those people that has to see the results, then she will believe in herself. But taking that initial, so I taught her a wrestling move last year at the beginning of the season called a cross wrist tilt. And basically what you do is you trap an elbow and you trap a wrist and you roll on like you kind of roll on your back to get them on their back, mm-hmm. and you roll through and it gets them to their back. Well, she was afraid to try it initially. And I'm like, at this stage, you have to be willing to lose to try something that will make you win. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And the first couple times she tried it, she did get caught on her back. Not necessarily losing. She had to scramble to get out, but we worked on it and we worked on it and finally nailed it down. And then it was her go-to move. And she won a lot of matches because of that particular move. Mm-hmm. But getting her to be motivated to that particular point was very hard to take that jump off a cliff. But once, like, girls are so much more mature and even more confident at this age than boys are. So I don't know. I don't know. And plus, it's just a time thing, right? I'm sure the more that your boy plays football, and the more your daughter did dance, the more comfortable that they become at it, and they feel more comfortable going into the rooms and they, you know, being on the stage and learning the moves and things like that.
Yep.
Is there a difference between your boy and your girl?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. My daughter is just generally speaking less confident and more self-conscious. A thing that I've learned about both of them, generally speaking, is to let things develop at the appropriate pace for that child, as opposed to like the timeline I want. And just because I see something is possible for my kid doesn't mean they're ready for that yet. Like they can get there, but I just need to let it be on their timeline. It's like, I for both of them, I think, you know what, like this is going to be their path. And I actually part of how I'm conceptualizing is I want to see how it unfolds. I don't want to like manipulate their path, but I want to see how they do it. And I want to see what their story is going to end up being. And right. So then it's like, all right, Kyle, so what do you do since you do care? Like, I'm not just going to sit back and not do anything. So I figure at all times, I'm going to provide fertile ground for my kids to grow.
Yep.
And, you know, you touched on it when you said you always say yes. If your kids ask you to do anything, you're like, yep, let's do that. And so that's a good example of always providing fertile ground where you're not pushing. So like I figure I can offer things, but I'm not going to force things on them.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, do you want to go to the batting cage? Hey, do you want to do this? Hey, do you want to do that? And if they say no, I say, okay. And I just let it go. And I found that sometimes they'll come back around and things are a lot more useful if they feel like it's their idea or if it's on their terms or whatever the case may be. Sometimes I get like a little sneaky and I'll like for my son, like he played flag football and our sons played together. And so I put up like on YouTube, I would just, without saying a word to him, just put up videos of like kids working out. Doing drills and stuff. And then I didn't even say a word to him. And he's watching these kids work out and doing all these drills on their own and like being athletic. And like his little internal engine starts revving up. And I could tell he was like wanting to be competitive with them. And he's like, Dad, can we do that? And I was like, oh, this? Oh, I guess. Sure, man. Let's go.
you know? Baited him in, dude. You baited him in.
Dude, big Love time. It. Big time. And I'm really learning like that sort of thing is helpful, like to have a guess at what they're going to respond to and then just expose them to it without pushing it on them. Then he felt like it was his idea. Then before you know it, we're out in the front yard. Like I've got a little workout course set up for him and he's dragging a little sled and doing and running through like little skills ladder and going out for passes and stuff. And he just thinks it's the funnest thing in the world. But if I would have like pushed that on him, he probably would have been like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about accountability. I think that's something that all human beings need to learn more of and how to properly, I don't know, is accountability is an action, right? Like it's something you have to do in order to be like, to take steps to become a better person, like whether that's through sports or just your personal relationships or things like that.
Yeah.
But here's what I do. If my kids say to me, if I go, hey, I have some time after school on Thursday. Do you want to go to the batting cage or do you want to go to the wrestling mat downstairs or things like that? Or would that be interest? Would do something like that? And they say yes. The second they say yes, that is a date by for them. And then when that time comes and they say, oh, I don't want to do that now. Maybe some friends are outside. That's when I hold them accountable. If they say no initially, then it's a no. But if you tell me something and you're going to do it, then you're going to do it, right? I'm holding you accountable for your words because your words actually mean something in this world.
Yeah.
And the other thing would be like, I just bought, you know, in this world of money, right? Like money is tight for everybody these days. And so my son, he was like, hey, listen, I don't want to go out for wrestling. I don't want to go out for wrestling. Okay, dude, I'm not going to make you go out. Are you sure? Well, this week, after the first day, he's like, I want to go out now. And I go, okay, you need wrestling shoes. And he's like, yeah, go get me wrestling shoes. And then I sat down, I had a conversation with him. Me buying you wrestling shoes is a signed contract for the entire year. You are not quitting. And I will make you now. And I had to set him down and make him do this. Cause I'm a firm believer that if you let a kid quit, then he'll want to quit his whole life. Right. That's just me. Right. I'm that guy who's like, then they'll quit a job because they've had one bad day, or they'll quit a friendship because it doesn't always go their way, or they'll quit. You know, like the word quit is almost poison to me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I guess I'm that dad who's just like, right now at the beginning, because especially for wrestling, dude, you find a partner, you have to show up for that partner. It's not just you in there. You got a partner. Right. And if you don't show up, then that partner doesn't get a good workout. Right. And it's the team thing too, like for baseball. Oh, you want to quit? Well, now your team is down a player that they should have had, that should be there.
Right.
And so I'm that guy who is like, I will make them follow through. And then the next year, if you don't want to do it, then we don't do it. And usually what happens, and this is just my experience, personal experience here, usually what happens is they get over that really quick. And then they want to go back to that. And they want to keep going back to it because I'm not forcing them to go there every day. I'm forcing them to go there on the days that they don't want to go. But there's other days that they do want to go. And so I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really important subject that I've actually been going back and forth about. And I think to me, as my kids get older, I feel more and more willing and able to hold them accountable and teach them accountability. Like when they're like the younger they are, the less I want to like turn them off to sports and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to burn them out. Also, like things feel different now than they did when I was a kid, that, you know, like the baseball season wasn't as long and just all the sports weren't as serious. And now everything feels so serious and there feels like more pressure. And I think that's an added variable that wasn't so much then. There still was pressure, obviously, but it just wasn't like now. Well, you know, when I was a kid, it was like the little town league baseball. It wasn't like the travel sports wasn't, I mean, it existed, but it wasn't nearly what it is now. Now, like the average kid that really should be in some rec league is playing on a travel team, and they're not, you know, it used to be the kids that were really driven were on those travel teams, and the kids that weren't that driven, they could play their rec ball where they played, you know, five games in a season and that was it, like very low pressure and low stakes. But now the kids that like are just trying it out, they're like just trying it out in travel ball.
Yeah.
And also like the stakes are a lot higher. So mm-hmm. I've I've just gone back and forth with how much to like really hold their feet to the fire versus like let them be the roadmap and like see how it all plays out. And my kind of my strategy is kind of as they get older to hold them more and more accountable. Like, you know, your boy's a little older where you can say, hey, if you go out right now and I buy you wrestling shoes, that means you're going to every practice and I'm going to force you to go.
Mm-hmm.
You, do you agree to that? Yes, Dad, I agree to that. Okay, cool.
Yep.
You know, that's a diff. That's a little harder conversation to have with like a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old.
Right.
They don't even, they have no clue what they're getting into. Right. I think that's part of my point.
And that's a good point.
They don't know what they're getting into. Like I say, you're gonna sign up for this and you're gonna go out for it. And they're like, okay. And they mean it in the moment, but they don't know what they're getting into. They don't even know what they're agreeing to.
Right. That's a great point. There's always a like when I say these things, I'm saying past that first experience. Like on this will be my boy's fourth year in wrestling or fifth year in wrestling. Shit, right. I don't
so
even
he
know.
He knows what wrestling
he knows.
At point. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. But if I was going to when I went in and did the kids at a younger age for sports, hey, let's try it out and see if you like it. Right. Like, my daughter, we tried out softball. She really wasn't a huge fan of it. Mm-hmm. We tried out, Knox tried basketball, my youngest. He didn't really like basketball that much. It looked like he was having fun playing it, but when we offered it to him again, no, I don't want to. And so certain things, and then I'm like, okay, let's try it out. If, you know, go to a couple practices. If you like it, you like it. If you don't. But once you're to an age and you've been through it a handful of times.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it's a responsibility at that point.
That
like,
gives me clarity. That gives me clarity in my mind. I can tell you one of like, you know, this is kind of helping this actually like settle and reorganize in my mind. But a thing that's been bothering me for a couple of years and like really I was torn at the time that it happened. My son played it on his first like, you know, more competitive USSSA team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was awesome. But like the head coach was just so intense, really inappropriate for young kids. Like the guy himself is actually a really nice guy, but the second he started coaching was just like way too much and like angry and disappointed and huge displays of anger and all this shit. And my kid was six, like newly six. He wasn't a seasoned baseball player. And so like he had to endure that. And I was an assistant coach. The head coach was the one that was real fiery. And, I was assistant coach, and so I was trying to keep things as positive as I could. And so my son like played the whole season and like tried his best and did really well, honestly. But it was not fun. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fun. And the whole time he's doing it and I'm coaching, I'm just like face palming and like trying really hard to figure out like, oh my God, what are we going to do here? This is these kids' experience with baseball is like a group of 6-year-olds. This is horrible.
Yeah.
None of them are going to come back. And truthfully, like after that year, like that team, basically like so many kids got off of that team because nobody wanted to come back. So here I'll get to the part that like I was torn with. My son stuck with it the whole season until the very end. And there were like, I think there were 2 games left out of 30 or something, a lot of games, 2 games left. And he just refused to go. Little 6-year-old refused to go. I'm not going. I don't want to. Don't make me go. I make him go. I force him in the van. We go. He gets there. Will not go to the game. Will not go into the dugout. Will not, just absolutely will not do it. You know, tears are welling up. And that's the thing that another thing I've learned about my son is if he's not a crier. If he's crying, it means he's like legit upset. He's not, he doesn't do crocodile tears. Like he's actually doesn't like to show weakness. So if he's crying, it means like something's really up with him. And so he's like not going. And I'm like trying really hard to force him. And I started out with my patient stuff and tried to be really encouraging and stuff. And that wasn't working. And I'm getting more and more pissed. And he just, I think I told you earlier, when he flips a switch, he's done. And this is part of how I learned that. And he just would not go. And I end up just being real pissed and be like, fine, we're going home. And we went home and I was just pissed and stewed and like, well, you're not doing anything fun the rest of the day then because you didn't do this and you know, your team needed you, all the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he, then there was one more game left in the season and he wouldn't go to that either. And I couldn't get him to go. And so he didn't, he just skipped the last two games. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Cause I don't value that. It's not okay with me to skip that. But also I thought, fuck, if I take, if I make him go to that, first of all, it's like, I know why he doesn't want to go. It sucks. It's bad. And so I was weighing, like, do I force him to go to teach him this lesson in accountability, or do I ease off because he's 6 years old and I don't want to like poison baseball for him?
Right.
And I thought, all right, Kyle, big picture, show your kids you respect him. Back off. Let's not turn this into a gigantic deal where he ends up like hating baseball. Let's take the good that we got out of this and just like move on. And that's what I ended up doing. And I do think that was the right tact, but I think as he gets older, I'll be able to hold him more accountable. But man, I was so torn. Do I make him stay and play? And like, do I drag him in there throwing a fit and crying? Or do I let him not play? Or like, oh my God, that was so stressful. And in the grand scheme of things, it's really not, but it really felt that way at the time.
Yeah. This world of sports is so huge right now for the youth, right? And it's such, in reality, everybody is thinking short. They're playing the short game.
Yeah.
But this is a long game.
Right.
This is a long game, right? Obviously, I mean, we go to a huge school, all right? One of the biggest schools in the state. And the likelihood statistically that our kids are on starting varsity for anything is a very low probability. All right. Just statistic wise.
Right.
And so what I would say is like, it's a long game. If you got to get your kid to love almost to the point of missing the game when they're not playing it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of parents just blow their kids out these days and they're just totally like, and that's something I had to learn.
Yeah.
Like I had to learn that the hard way when I had my son, wanting to walk away. Now, the other aspect of this is parents are doing this. Parents have created all of this, right? The kids didn't create club ball and this is where it gets tough, right? So we could do our local community baseball league where it's for fun and the developmental of the game is just not there. Right. It's just some volunteer coaches throwing some pitches and these kids are okay. Throw it to first. How do you throw it to first? How do you do that? And a lot of that comes with the proper coaches. But now we have created in sports this gigantic jump from just for fun to, and the people who sign up for just for fun expect there to be it to be just for fun. And then the next, there's nothing in between. The next step is full blown travel baseball, 30 games a summer. Are you kidding me? Right? 30 games a summer for a 10-year-old?
10-year-old. Yeah. But 6-year-olds are that level. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Five tournaments, your whole summer's baseball.
Yep. I believe a couple years ago, I ran into a parent who their kid played 85 baseball games from April to July, middle of July, 85 baseball games.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That is stupid. Like, I don't want to be a part of any of those teams.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. For most kids, for the very, very, very rare child, that's probably fine. But for the vast majority of kids, horrible idea. I've talked to parents whose kids have gone through the whole system and they're done. And multiple of them have said, I wish we wouldn't have done so much because they liked it at the time. And by the time they graduated from high school, they were just done. And some kids that could have played in college just had no desire anymore. They couldn't wait for it to be done. They're like, I wish I wouldn't have pushed my kids so much. I wish I would have let stuff be more fun.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it needs to be fun at some point. And I think that's for me, it's almost like, dude, I want my kid to stand out. I want my kid to bat 500. I want my kid to hit bombs. I want my daughter to just like win state champions. Like, the wrestling is such an eye opener for that because my son, my oldest boy, when he did his first developmental tournament. That's where if you get pinned or you pin somebody else, they stand up, they raise both hands, everybody wins, congratulations, you know, like it's right. fun, right?
Everybody goes and gets their medal together. You right. know how you just wrestled, go and get a medal together.
Yep. And so I thought, oh my God, my son's ready for the real tournaments. And then I signed him up and he just got destroyed for the next three or four tournaments. And he was losing it. Like he did not want to be there. He didn't want to be there. And so I ended up learning a huge lesson there where certain sports, you got to baby step them in. All sports, baby step them in, get them comfortable with the rules, get them comfortable with the aggressiveness. Maybe your kid isn't aggressive and maybe, I don't know, wrestling isn't the sport for them. But like, I look at your son and I'm just like, that dude, he has wrestler all over him because of, he wants to go forward all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which is, yeah. And so, the other thing is, let me ask you a question. What is your wife like when it comes to sports and like wanting your kids to be successful in those sports? Does that look different from yours?
Oh yeah. She wants our kids to do stuff, but she doesn't have like she's okay with whatever. She doesn't really seem to have a drive for like, you have to do this and you have to do that. And we're learning life lessons here and da, 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 da. Yeah. Like, you know, she just like thinks he's cute in his uniform and likes to go watch and stuff. Like I'm the one that's like, God, I build all the stuff up behind it. Like these are life lessons and he's developing the person that he is and all the things. You know, I appreciated you said that you have to be careful not to live vicariously through your kids. And that's the thing I've really been like trying to keep on my radar is like, is this coming from me or coming from them? And like me want I see that my son's really good at stuff just naturally. And so then I have to be super honest, and this is like embarrassing to admit, but like I do feel like this sense of pride. You know, when he's like, when people are like, whoa, he's so fast. Whoa, he's so this and that. There's a bit of me that's like, And I'm like I'm getting a feeling of pride, almost like I'm taking credit for what he's doing. And I have to squash that. Like when that stuff comes up in me, it feels gross and I don't like it. And then that's when I have to be like, Kyle, shut your mouth. This isn't about you. Like let him find his path, like be a good guide for him. So I try hard to not let that run away because I've noticed that stuff coming up in me and it feels embarrassing to be super honest with you.
Yeah.
If anybody compliments him and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's my son. And oh yeah, like then it makes me want to like push him and like, oh, he could be even better and he could be really good and he could be a standout. And then I would get even more attention and it would feel really good for people to be like, wow, he's so good. And I'm like, yeah, that's my son. Like, dude, I don't want to go down that path. So I need to like cut that serpent's head off when it pokes up.
Dude, it's almost like, I don't know. I this is not funny at all, but it's kind of funny. Like in my head, this correlation seems funny, but like, what's that called when a mother will poison or make her kids purposely sick just so Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So it's like a version of that where you are getting attention through your kid. So you want your kid to be a certain way so that you have the attention.
Yeah. 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 It's horrible. I do not like it. It was to be super honest, is like embarrassing for me to even like say that to you. And I say it out, but I want to be transparent on this.
That's relatable.
Yes. Yeah.
That's relatable, dude. Everybody. Good. I mean, everybody goes through that shit. Like when somebody comes up to me and is like, holy shit, your son is fast, dude. And I'm like, yeah, my genetics, dude.
That's right.
My blown out knees genetics.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's crazy. But I think there's a little bit of that is okay. So like for me, I am very vocal with my kids about what I did wrong. Dude, I was drinking alcohol. I started drinking alcohol in eighth grade, dude. And then that just snowballed into a 30-year-old version of me. I'm not joking, dude.
Right.
And so I just, if I was able to put down the alcohol and the partying and all the other stuff, I would have been better in other aspects, whether that is education, whether that was sports or like relationships and things like that. And I tell my kids, like, dude, alcohol, when you're young, is a waste of your talent. It's a waste of your energy. It is a waste of your time. And you're going to be pressured on all three, like everywhere, to do drugs and alcohol when you're in high school. And you're going to have to make that decision. And my youngest son is looking at me like, what is dad talking about? Like,
right.
I'm eight right now, right? And I'm just like, no right. drugs, no alcohol, no drugs or no alcohol, right?
He's like, right? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Like, no, all right,
like,
Dad.
I'm like, trying
Dad,
to... do you want? Go ahead.
Yeah, he's like, Dad, you want to watch YouTube videos of Mr. Beast right now? I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do that. No alcohol. Yeah,
love it. Oh man, no, that's really funny. I was chuckling earlier because I didn't have my first sip of alcohol until I was like 22 years old. I think, man. I was like graduated or almost graduated from college before I took my first sip of alcohol.
Yeah,
I was kind of chuckling. There's lots of different ways to do it. But then like, you know, no drugs, no alcohol. Like this morning I teased my son, like, oh, you want to take a sip of coffee? He's like, oh no.
Love it.
Gross. You know?
Yeah.
And
yep.
But when I was, I wonder if you had a similar experience. When I was little, my dad was drinking a beer in front of the TV and I was like, what are you drinking? He's like, oh, it's beer. And I was like, can I try it? Can I have a sip? And he's like, sure. So I took one sip of his beer and I was like, oh, why are you drinking this? Like, you drink this on purpose? This is horrible. And maybe that's why I didn't drink until I was 22, but I just couldn't even believe how bad it tasted. And, you know, now I like beer, but
yeah.
I just thought that was pretty funny. It's funny, like, no drugs, no alcohol to an 8-year-old. And they're like, yeah, I would hate that anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my story of that.
Yeah,
I loved my grandparents. Like, my grandpas, they were my heroes. Literally, like, I wanted to be like my grandpas. And so my one grandpa on my mom's side, he was a 3-pack-a-day smoker. Like, I'd sit in a combine with him when he was picking corn, and he would light one with the other
with
one.
With the other. Oh, yeah.
With the other, and he would just rip them. And I'm in the backseat, you know, just like, he'd hotbox everybody on the way to church and crack a window. And my, anyway. And so I wanted to be like him, right? And I can remember going up, he like lit a cigarette, put it in the ashtray, and then he walked away. And I'm like, I want to be like grandpa. So I took that cigarette, I sucked it in, and I swallowed it like a glass of water. And I just proceeded to puke for the next 2 straight hours. Like all over the place. And
awesome.
my mom's like, well, I think you learned your lesson here. I don't think you're going to be a smoker, right? You're gonna smoke. And I'm like, cigarette. And then, dude, honestly, I had a disdain.
Yes, an aversion, that's called.
Yeah, for cigarettes the rest of my life.
Oh, right? Yes.
My wife, believe it or not, was a smoker when we met. And I told her straight up, I will not marry a smoker. Like, smoking will be done. If we're married, we're done. I'm not going through that shit.
Right.
Right. And so. But anyway, kind of getting back to the conversation about the wife real quick.
That's so funny.
My wife is worse than me when it comes to sports and like anything that our kids, it's like, well, you want to do it? Let's get to it. Go to the batting cage, do this. Like, she's way more intense even than I am.
Oh, I about can see it.
Right. See it. And I literally have to back her off sometimes where it's just like, let's take a deep breath. It can't be full bore all the time. Like with my daughter,
right.
In wrestling, like wrestling partners are a huge thing. Well, she's not getting in the class she want. We got to get her into another class. We got to get this. And I'm just like, whoa, chill out. Right. If you want to get into wrestling, go pick up a wrestling class somewhere. Right. For yourself. But like, you got to chill out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I want to cover one more thing before we shut her down here today. You got a little bit more time left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. this idea of setting goals and writing them down on pieces of paper. Like, I've started doing that with my kids, especially my daughter. So last year, and I go, what? It's very simple. We do it together. We sit down on at the dinner table. I have a piece of paper and a pen, and I say, what are your goals for this sport this year? Or whatever she's doing. Well, I want to get top three in the state. Okay, good goal. Top three in the state. Now let's talk about what it takes, what steps you need to go through to achieve this goal. Mm-hmm. Practice every day? We're practice every going to miss any practices? No. Okay. Continue, like consistent practice schedule, right? What else do you think it's going to take? Hard work. And then you kind of like, I grew up in a, when I was young, I worked for this company and it kind of opened my eyes to something. It's called 5Y. It's a lean manufacturing principle.
Okay.
Where in order to find out what your problem is, you have to go backwards five times. So, okay. For example, it's like this, let's say this guy got a divorce. Well, why did you get a divorce? Well, I cheated on my wife. Well, why did you cheat on your wife? Well, she was making me unhappy. Well, why was she making you unhappy? Right. And so you go backwards and you try to find the root cause of whatever the problem was. Mm-hmm. And then you address that issue and that solves all the problems. Mm-hmm. And I kind of implemented that into goal setting for my kids where, and even myself, like I have a board down here where by 2026, how do I achieve these goals? Right. I have a couple goals on this whiteboard and it says, you know, like achieve the goal number one. What's this goal? How do you get this goal by doing these steps? Right.
Yeah.
Consistency is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
And so we do that. I do that with my son, not my youngest, cause he's too young to understand it yet. And he obviously needs the wiggle room, but when they're adamant about certain things, like my son, and he's adamant about certain things, my daughter's adamant about certain things, that goals, I write them down and then I hold them accountable for those things. You said here, you wanted to get better at running, but, and you said that maybe some squats, you know, 30 squats every morning when you wake up, have you been doing those? No. Okay. Well, how are you going to reach these goals if you didn't check this box right here? Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't force them to do it. I just show them that they're currently not doing the steps that they agreed upon with themselves to hit this goal.
Yeah.
Right. So,
right.
It is what it is. It is what it is. So
I love that. I hope that gets clipped and posted to the internet. Cause I think that a lot of parents could benefit from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Any final thoughts, Kyle, before we shut her down today?
No, I appreciate you. I like having the space to be able to like talk through stuff that I would normally just like mull over in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good to have an outlet for that.
Right. Okay. So, why don't you tell people what we're trying to work on?
Yeah.
You reached out to somebody about like marriage, and this is kind of like what we're trying to get somebody on, in the future.
Yeah. So, Dan and I over the years of our friendship have had plenty of conversations where we just kind of like, I don't know. I don't even know how it happened. Like we just start talking, we just start getting real with each other and just having good conversations. And then that's kind of how this podcast spawned of like, oh, we could just like, we could do this on a podcast. So then we did that. And then we also kind of realized as we talk, there's some areas that we feel like we could use some bolstering in, that we could use an outside opinion, or like when we think about things or we talk through things, we come to the same stuck points. And so we thought it might be a good idea to bring on an expert in the field. And I'm a counselor, psychotherapist, and I know plenty of people in the field that are marriage and family therapists that work with couples and relationships and whatnot. And so I've reached out to some contacts and I have a good lead for somebody that's an expert in the area. So I want to bring her on and just ask her a ton of questions. I want to ask her a bunch of questions that I feel like I don't just naturally have the answer to. A thing that I've, like one kind of strategy that I use in life is basically the idea that like, there's a good chance someone else has already thought this through.
100%.
Maybe I don't have to reinvent the wheel, and like there might be like really good resources out there, and I don't need to waste my time spinning my wheels. I can like do some research. And so I think that's kind of a strength to do, is to like reach out and find somebody that's really good at a thing and then pick their brain. And so that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to bring somebody on the podcast and just pick her brain. Somebody that has like years of experience working with couples and relationships, and just get her feedback and get her experiences and just glean as much as I can from her.
100%. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm a firm believer that if the marriage is right in the house, then everything else is right in the house. And when there's a crack in the marriage, even though it's a small one, it could have, you know, major consequences further on down the line. If it's not, it's like concrete, right? If there's a crack in the concrete, weather over time will expose that crack, and the crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, the marriage has to be on point for the rest of the family to be on point. And that's the foundation of the house, so to speak. So
totally agree.
So that's two. Kyle. Mm-hmm. Good vibes sent your way, my friend. Good vibes to all of you who are listening to the Man Therapy podcast. I know we've been inconsistent at times. Our schedules are real crazy, mine specifically. And outside of that, good vibes, everybody. Go to iTunes or Spotify, wherever you download the Man Therapy podcast. Leave us a review. Let everybody know that we are the two most intelligent human beings on the planet Earth, right? And that the topics that we cover are extremely life-changing, and we're going to change your life. Or we could just be two relatable dudes who like to talk about the things that are going on in their life, whether they're problems or successes. So good vibes in, good vibes out, everybody. Kyle, we'll talk to you next time.
See you, bud.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.